All right, if you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then there's a sermon outline in your bulletin as well. So you might want to pull that out, follow along as we look at this passage of Scripture and as we look at the sermon and think about one body, many parts. Jeannie is back in the nursery, back in the children's area with the kids, and I had told her I was going to talk about National Night Out a little bit during the sermon, and and she was wanting to know, and she had to go back there, so we missed out. I guess we miscommunicated. I'll have to tell her about it later. You can tell her later. So it was Tuesday night, National Night Out. It's always the first Tuesday night in August, and it's a community event that is sponsored by police departments and fire departments all across the country. And so the different apartment complexes and have events, have stuff going on. It's an opportunity to get out and meet your neighbor, opportunity to build some community. And I noticed in our community there were a number of places, a number of the apartment complexes. They had a big National Night Out celebration over in the grocery outlet parking lot. And this year, we were invited to come and participate in National Night Out at Carson Ridge. Carson Ridge, those of you who don't know, is just two apartment complexes, not the next one, but the second driveway up from us. So it was very interesting. It was a very good night. Now, I need to tell you the backstory behind this. A number of years ago, 8 years ago, we started having block parties and started having events to reach out to people in the apartments. And Carson Ridge was the first apartment complex that opened up and allowed us. We had a connection with the manager there, and she trusted us enough to allow us to do that, to have a block party there. And then another, we were able to go to Deerview, which is right behind the church, and then we were able to go. Finally, we were able to go to the apartment complex over a little more midtown, Cottonwood. And there at Cottonwood, we had one of the best block parties we had ever had. We had people come out. We served pizza. We served hot dogs. We had people sharing the gospel. People were getting saved. It was a great, it was a tremendous night. And then everything was a success. But afterwards, for some reason, they shut us out. They said, no, you can't come back and do that anymore. And so the next year, I went and asked, talked to the manager, said, no, can't do it. Our owners won't allow that. And the crazy thing is that it was same owners in different places. So it was just something happened. Don't know what it was, but we were not able to do anything there. Now, time rolls around. We keep praying. God opened that door back up again because they invited us to come to Cottonwood and help with National Night Out. And so we did. And we were able to have a booth and a table and share the gospel and different things. And this past year, all the apartment complexes were bought and sold by, so all the managers that I had known for 8 years are gone. And new managers coming in some situations. And I was really discouraged because I was thinking, it took me 3 years to get a key to the gate, And I built this relationship with these managers, and I'm like, now I've got to start from scratch. I've got to start all over again. But I really didn't, because the manager over at Cottonwood moved to up here at Carson Ridge. And so she called me up and said, well, would Placer Heights Baptist Church be interested in helping us with National Night Out? Hey, and anytime anybody invites me to come share the gospel, I'm like, yes. So here we go. So I rolled in, on Tuesday night with the block party trailer, with the bounce house and the snow cone and ice cream and all that stuff. It's fun driving that thing down the road because it's got this big sign, it's painted all over. You want to know Jesus, call his phone number. And so I rolled in, towing that thing. And when I'm like, what in the world is going on? Because there was another church there. That's okay. I don't mind that at all. You know? So we're working with them. And the manager this year, you know, 6 o'clock rolled around, time to start. She called in all of the people who were there with all the booths, all the water balloon people, all the snow cone people, all the bounce house people. And she called all the apartment residents, all the people who live there. He says, okay, everybody, we're just going to circle up. We're going to make one big circle. We're all going to hold hands, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. I'm like, whoa. And she prayed. And she led the whole apartment complex in prayer. And then we just had a great night of witnessing and sharing and kids playing in water and, you know, it was crazy, but it was fun. And I talked to her about it. Her name is Leslie. I talked to her about it. And she said, well, what's going on? I said, well, I started going to church. Not this church, but hey, I don't care. And last month she went on a mission trip. And now she told me something though. She said, I was scared to death. Because that's only the second time I've ever prayed in public. I said, well, Leslie, you did a great job. You know, and so we're going to sit down and talk about, you know, how, you know, I'm going to give her a couple of weeks. She's going to give me a couple of weeks to let everything kind of, because they're busy and we're busy, but see what we can continue to minister there. Isn't that amazing how God opened that door, how God used everything there? And because Fred was out sick and some other folks were out sick and different things going on, I didn't have enough men there to get everything taken care of as far as loading the bounce house and everything else up. But you know what? They did. And so everything went smooth. Everything was God provided. And it opened that door of ministry. And I was just so excited. So it was great. And it's fun to see little kids that come year after year. There's one little kid named Gabe. Oh, he recognized us right off, you know. And it was just so much fun. I had a stranger, a fellow I didn't even know, come up to me and he says, you don't know who I am, but I know who you are. I'm like, what? How in the world do you know who I am? He says, because all the folks here have been talking about you. They know you're the pastor of the church down there. Yay. So they know that we're here and to minister. And so that is great. So keep praying for that. That's just an example of how God's at work. God's at work all over the place. And God has workers all over the place as well. And yet, Ted lives in that apartment complex, don't you, Ted? Yeah.
I remember something. Your niece was laying down in the water, splashing around, and you took a picture of her, and then you shook your head and away.
Yeah. And my granddaughter, my littlest one, Journey, you know, it was just the runoff from the water. Some of the, you know, made a big puddle, so she thought, you know, not just splash in the puddle. She was going to go swimming in the puddle. Yeah. It's all fun.
And we donated stuff, too.
You did donate stuff. Ted and Susan donated stuff. They were there. And it's just such a sweet. Ted, I think everybody in that apartment complex loves you and Susan. I think they do. Because I saw the way they treated you and how they were so nice to you that night. That was good. All right. You're a positive witness there. You know that? Yeah. All right. See how God works? Isn't that amazing? So we're thinking about how God works and how God uses folks and how God is working. Let's look at this passage of Scripture, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to start with verse 12 because that's where we left off last week. It says, for just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not, for that reason, any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not, for that reason, any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God had arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. If they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are the weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, so that our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in other tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way, most excellent way. Then he goes on to talk about love. So, but one body, many parts. We are the body of Christ. One body, many parts. So I want us to look at four principles this morning, four foundational principles to the body of Christ this morning. And the first one is this. The first principle is unity. Unity means that there is one body. We have many parts, but there is one body. That's the first principle. There is one body. All right. So when I went up there to Carson Ridge Apartments and there was another church, were there two bodies of Christ there working against each other? No. There was one body of Christ sharing together, all with the same common purpose of ministering to people and sharing Christ's love. So, in our church family, we have one church, Placer Heights Baptist Church, but we have different members with different talents and different skills and different things. I like to watch the men cook breakfast on Tuesday mornings. They do a pretty good job. I used to go to a church where the men cook breakfast once a month, and I'll just describe it like this. Everything was cooked hard, fast, and burnt. But these guys do pretty good, you know. They scramble up the eggs, and they put a little chili peppers in there sometimes. They put a little cheese in there sometimes, and then, you know, another man will be responsible for the bacon. And every once in a while, they'll get really inspired. This is the men's favorite. I'll tell you what. Jim knows what I'm about to say. What's their favorite, Jim?
Biscuits and gravy.
Yeah. So, you know. But they all work together. One person does this, one person does that, one person does this. And, you know, I know if this was ladies, one lady in about 10 minutes could probably have the whole breakfast out there and everything, you know. But one man mans the toaster, and one man mans the microwave. We can't fry anything on our stove anymore because the fire marshal said we can't. So we have to have electric skillet. We work around it, but so far that hadn't slowed us down much. But they all work together. And Floyd comes in, he sets the table. Another man makes the coffee. Sometimes Floyd makes the coffee, but everybody does something. We have one breakfast, but everybody does something. See, everybody has a part to play. Everybody, and if you come, you don't have to do anything, but, you know, pretty soon they're going to give you something to do, and you won't mind. You will feel like you're contributing, but there's one body. Look at this passage of Scripture. It starts out, I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but it says, just as there's one body and many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body. It goes to talk about one baptism, one spirit, one body. All these things, one part. It uses the word one over and over and over and over again. Probably about 7, 8, 9, 10 times in this passage of Scripture. It uses one. There's unity. It was so important that when Jesus was praying his prayer before his crucifixion. They call it his high priestly prayer. When he's talking, having a heart-to-heart talk with the Heavenly Father, with God, Heavenly Father, God Jesus, talking to God the Father, he said he prayed for us and prayed for his disciples. He said, may they be one as we are one. He prayed for us to be one, to have a unity. Paul said that we are to make every effort to maintain that unity, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit. You know, and he said, even so much as it is possible with us, with you, he said, live at peace with everyone. So unity takes work. Unity takes prayer. One of the greatest prayers I think you could pray for our church is to add this. You know, there's several things I like for us to pray, that God would send new people each week, that God would bless the preaching and teaching of our, you know, of his word, and that God would, that through the ministry of our church, that people would be saved, and that God would move among inactive members. And there's like a fifth one that I'd really like to add, that God would protect the fellowship of the church. That God would protect the fellowship of the church. If you've ever been in a church where there was a fellowship problem, you knew it the minute you walked in the door. No one had to say anything. A healthy church has a unity. God would protect the fellowship of the church. So that's the first principle. The second principle of one body, many parts is this, that there is diversity. That there is diversity. I brought some musical instruments this morning. Actually, I went back in the nursery and found these, and I thought, oh, that'll work. I want to play some music for you this morning, okay? You ready? Here we go. Okay. And every once in a while, I'm going to go. All right. That doesn't sound like much, does it? But you know, one year I went to a concert when my kids were in band. You could also do this. I went to a concert when my kids were in band. It was a Christmas concert. It was a winter concert, and they were playing different things. And, you know, you got all 50, 60, 70 students. They're all playing different instruments. You know, they got two or three clarinets and two or three saxophones. You got, you know, some guys who are on percussion. That's what my son Andrew liked to play, percussion. And you know, and they're all playing it. And they played different songs, but they got to this, you know, they played, of course, you know, the Christmas songs. They got to the sleigh ride song. You ever heard that song, you know? And there was somebody there with two little blocks like this, and they were going clop, 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 clop. That was the horse, you know? Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. And then the, that would be, you know, like when they crack the whip, you know, the sound. So, you know, one person doing this, okay. Is it important? Yes. Is it the whole thing? No. See, there's unity, a oneness, but there's also diversity. It takes each member of the symphony to make the whole thing. It takes each member of the church to make the whole thing function the way God intends it to function. So we all have our parts. The second principle, diversity, there are many parts. Right? There's many parts. My part's not the same as your part. And, you know, JB is the one who microwaves the bacon the best. You know, he's the microwave bacon man, but we got bacon we could cook in the oven, you know, but it's not the same if JB's not here, you know. We have Fred, and Fred's not here this morning because he's been having shingles for about a month, and they don't go away, and they're just worse and worse. So we miss him. You know, he's a part. You are a part. And it's important. We're different. One body, many parts. Okay? We all got that, right? I know everybody's with me this morning. They're saying, you're just being redundant, right? Well, I want to get it. I want us to really know it, okay? One body, many parts. And the third principle is this. The third principle is design. Design. Now, I use this illustration when people say, oh, I don't believe that there is a God. I say, okay, well, let's look at this. I like, my dad built things, and he was able to, he had a skill, and I like this skill. He could lay bricks. Have you ever watched a brick mason lay bricks? if you ever get a chance to, it is truly amazing because there's a certain skill involved. I've seen people try and do it, you know, like try and build a barbecue pit or a mailbox or something, and try as hard as they can, and that thing looks all, you know. But my dad would take a brick, and he would slap some of that mortar on there. He'd put it there. He'd tap, tap. He'd tap, tap. He'd shh. You know, he'd get to the thing where it'd take a half, and he'd put it up there, and he'd kind of eyeball it, and he'd take his trowel, and he'd just whoosh, put half the brick up there. He wouldn't throw the other half away. He'd use it some, you know, because it's going to make the line right. So where I'm going with this is, if you look at a brick wall, and you notice this, the joints won't all, they'll all be offset. There's a plan. There's a pattern to them. You know, so I know that if there's a plan, I know that if there's a pattern, I know that if there's a design, there has to be a designer, right? I use this in thinking about there has to be God because I see design in creation. So in the church, there's a design as well. It's God, the scripture says right here, that it's God who has arranged all of the parts in the body just as he sees fit. God has done that. There is a designer, and he has put together this body of Christ the way he wants us to be, with unique talents and gifts, and every one of those is important. Every one is important. One person may sing, one person may play, one person may give, one person may unlock the door, one person may sweep the floor, one person may fold the bulletin, one person may teach a class. But we all have different roles. We all have different things that we can do. So that's the third principle. Is that there's different things we can do. I'll share one thing that I'm pretty sure that a number of us can do. Some of us can do the same things. Some things are easy, and some things take more skill. One of the things that we've been doing is we've been having care teams, and we have these care team assignment slips, and the idea is to care and pray and share, you know, so forth. So the idea is to give someone a telephone call during the week, keep it to about 2 minutes for the call, and say, "Hi, how are you doing? I just want to let you know that I am calling you." And they figured that when the phone rang, right? But I'm calling you because I care. And I just want to touch base with you. I want to see how you're doing. How can I pray with you? Let me pray with you. And let me share, you know, something that's going on at church. Like this week we're having a concert on Sunday night. Just touch base with them. That is all. And then that's a contact. So if you would like, we're going to reorganize this because when we first started, it said it's going to go through the summer, and then for September we'll start again and reorganize it and get folks involved. Now, how many of you would like to have a phone call from your church saying, "Hey, I care about you"? Right. Okay. And it's just really that simple. It doesn't take very long. But when I'll tell you something that happened last year. Last year, we did it a little differently, and we had hearts. I don't know if I had any hearts with me today. Oh, I do. We had these little hearts. Remember these from last year? We started encouraging everybody to take a heart. This heart will remind you to reach out to one person and just do what I just, you know, let them know, "Hey, I love you. Placer Heights Baptist Church, we love you. We care about you." And it could be somebody who's part of the church or not. And people would do more than one. I said, "Okay, so if you do more than one, just write the number on the heart. If you reached out to seven people, put seven people." And it could be people who are in the church or people who are out of the church. I kept checking on my neighbor. So I'd put my neighbor down. My neighbor had never been to church here, but I hope that one day she will. So, you know, put it on here. Now, last fall when we did that, our contacts went up. And then all of a sudden, our attendance started going up. Up to the point where we were at average of 54. We went up. We were sometimes in the 80s, sometimes higher, to an average of 70. So 50 to 70, that's 20 more people. And then something else happened. We noticed that when that happened, our offerings went up. Now, preacher, you're talking about money, and money ought not be part of the kingdom of God. Well, offerings went up. You know what we did? What we were able to do then? We were able to do more ministry. We were able to reach out to more people, to have things that you know. So the contacts went up, then the attendance went up, then the offering went up without even me preaching about the money. So I didn't, you know. So there you go. And then, you know, so that's what happened. Now we're kind of in a slump. So we need to get back. You know, when you start to contract these things, you see. So I want to just encourage you. If you want to be a care team leader, I can show you how, and it is so simple. It would probably take about, Carrie, how long does it take you? Okay, so if you stuck to the 2 or 3 minutes per call, how long?
About half an hour.
And I asked Carrie how long it took her, because she does 10 people a week. And the ideal is about 6 people a week. The ideal is that when you get to 10, here's what we need to do, Carrie. We need to find a leader in your group so we can have 2 groups instead of 1 group. And then we go to it, then we keep going again, right? You see what I'm saying? So wouldn't it be great if someone, I appreciate what Carrie's doing there, and she said, I'm not even going to be an official leader because I'm the Sunday school director. I've got enough to do, so I'm not going to be official leader. But she does it every week anyway. So send me more people like that, Lord. So you can do that. Well, I don't like calling strangers. Okay. Call 6 people you know. We'll figure out who. Jeannie also does this. You know, there are different folks who've been doing this. Jackie's been doing it, different ones. So just remind, this is a way for us to, you know, there's something for everybody. There's something for everybody. And I love the fact that now here lately, some folks have been coming up to me and saying, hey, here's an idea I think that we ought to do. And you know what? Somebody else did this last week. I didn't have to do it. They came up, and I was overhearing this conversation, and someone said, here's an idea. And they said, oh, that'd be a great idea for you to do since you thought of it. You know, but there's something for all of us, right? There's some way we can contribute. We all need each other. That's God's design. That's God's plan. So there's unity. That's principle number 1. There's diversity. That's number 2. There's design. That's number 3. And then number 4, there is dependence. Dependence, what am I talking about? It's this. We all need each other, right? That's the principle. We need each other. You know, when I was preaching before, you know, we've been looking at this subject for a couple of weeks now, and I talked about what if we had one body part we had to sacrifice and get rid of, and old Mark over there, he really took the sermon to heart. Because he left church, and before church came back that evening, he said, you know, I think I've got appendicitis. I'm going to the doctor. And they, so he's minus an appendix, right? But we all need each other. We are all connected to each other. We all depend upon each other. I heard a story, it's kind of amusing, about this lady who lived by herself in an apartment. And it was actually in England. And she all of a sudden, her greatest fear, you know, some people are afraid of spiders, right? Some people cannot stand. I see some people looking at each other over there, yeah. You know, you're afraid of spiders. I mean, if a spider were, I know people that if a spider were to, you know, come down on its little web while they were driving down the freeway right in front of them, they would probably have an accident right there on the freeway because, you know, so this lady had a spider in her apartment, and she was afraid of spiders, deathly afraid of spiders. And she didn't want to kill, I mean, you know, take your shoe off, whack the wall, you know, I don't know what to do, and step on it, it's on the wall, so, you know, whatever, get a fly swatter, shoo the spider away, I don't know. Spiders don't bother me, so, you know, I'm probably not the right person to be sympathizing here. So she had the spider. She didn't know what to do. So she called her neighbor, called her friends. Neighbors weren't home. Friends couldn't come over. She didn't know what to do. So finally she hit upon this idea. She, you know, now there's all these, you know, Uber delivers food and all these people deliver food. She ordered food. you know, from so that when the driver got there, she didn't want the food, she didn't need the food, but the plan was when the driver got there, she was going to say, oh, could you please kill the spider for me? And so, you know, after about 30 minutes or so, here comes the driver with Kentucky Fried Chicken or Chinese food or whatever she had ordered. And she says, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you. Come on in. And, you know, here, how much do I owe you? And here's a big tip. By the way, could you kill that spider for me? Now, here's the point. She needed somebody in her life who could kill the spider. It's better to have that person in your life before you need them. All right? Now, how does this apply to church? Two things. Number one, you need church. Right? And it's better to have church before you need church. Number two. Now that's kind of a me attitude. But the other side of that is somebody needs you. You can contribute to somebody else. You can help somebody else grow. You can help some. You can kill somebody else's spider for them. You can encourage somebody else. You can pray for somebody else. You can lift somebody else up. And when you do that, you know, then you are contributing, and it's something bigger than you, something more important than you, something you're helping somebody else, and that is a tremendous thing. It's not all about consumerism and me. What I get out of it, but it's also what you can give, how you can help others. The fourth principle, dependence, we all need each other. So there's unity. There should be. We have to work to maintain that in the body of Christ. There's diversity. We're all different. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. And then there's a design. This is God's. Jesus is the head. God arranges the parts in the body just like he needs them to be. And there's a dependence. We need each other. So I encourage you to get involved, stay involved, contribute, do what you can. Well, I can't do what I used to do. Well, I have a feeling God's not finished with you yet. People ask me all the time, say, I don't know why I'm still here. Well, let's figure it out. Let's figure out what you can do, how you can be an encouragement to somebody else, how you can minister. There's something. There is something. At Vacation Bible School this year, we had a lady who could not help with Vacation Bible School in the sense of teaching a class or serving snacks or running around with kids. But you know what she did? She was the scissors. She cut stuff out. And that saved teachers a ton of time. That saved people a lot. She could do that at home. And she could do that, and she did. And she did she contribute to Vacation Bible School? Yes. If a kid got saved at Vacation Bible School, did she have a part in that? Absolutely. She did. There's something all of us can do. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that I'm a part of the body of Christ. And thank you, Lord, that we have a body of Christ, that we can be a part of this local body of Christ in ministering, in caring, in sharing, in reaching our community, and bringing honor and glory to you. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you so much. Lord, I pray that this morning, if there's someone here who's not accepted you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here who needs to become a member, a member of this body of Christ, I pray that they would do that this morning. If someone here who needs to rededicate their life to you, I pray that they would do that. As you lay the decision upon our hearts this morning, Lord, I pray that you give us the courage to say yes to you and respond in the appropriate way. In your name I pray, amen. Let's stand, let's sing Serve the Lord with Gladness.